Over the last 10 years, there's been increasing interest in the health benefits of vitamin D. It's been called the miracle vitamin, and many studies suggest that the importance of vitamin D goes beyond bone health and may reduce the risk for cancer, heart disease, stroke, diabetes, autoimmune diseases, and more. The Institute of Medicine has set new dietary intake levels for vitamin D and calcium for their role in bone health, but says that more research is needed to confirm other possible health benefits associated with these nutrients. But joining us this morning to help us understand these recommendations and the importance of vitamin D in our lives as part of our continuing series called Public Health Today is Dr. Donna Bakke, Associate Professor and Chair of Public Health and Preventive Medicine at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Bakke.
Glad to be here.
So why is vitamin D so important?
Well, as you mentioned in the introduction, it is critically important for bone growth, but also we're now finding it's important for immune function. And without the vitamin D levels being sufficient in the body can cause a lot of problems, as you mentioned, cancer, immune problems, asthma, cardiovascular disease.
So who of us is most at risk for this, for deficiency in vitamin D?
Well, all of us are at risk, but particularly people living in northern climates like us living in Syracuse because we don't get enough sun. Vitamin D is interesting because it's also a hormone. It can be made by sunlight activating certain processes in your body, but if you don't get exposed to the sunlight, then you're not getting sufficient vitamin D, so you have to get it in your diet.
So specifically, in addition, I mean, there are people who have other kinds of conditions who also might need it. For example, if you have osteoporosis, or I read somewhere that even pregnant women or pregnant and nursing women specifically need to look out for this.
Yes, I think also various individuals, anyone eating a vegan diet and a vegetarian diet that's not eating a lot of fish or vitamin D fortified dairy products, people with darker skin because the melanin in your skin doesn't let the vitamin D be processed the way it should be when you're exposed to sunlight. Even people with obesity because the fat will uptake the vitamin D and then it won't get to the rest of your body to be used. And those of us who use sunscreen liberally and don't give an opportunity for the body, even when we're out in sun, to get exposed to a little sunlight, can be at risk.
So you said there are other deficiencies. There are certain diseases or conditions besides osteoporosis that are associated with vitamin D deficiency. What are those?
Well, we're finding that multiple sclerosis can be a condition that if you have low vitamin D levels, you're at increased risk for getting that. And you know, the way we found that out is that people in climates that don't get a lot of sun, there tends to be a higher incidence. Syracuse tends to be an area where there's a lot of multiple sclerosis. People with gastrointestinal problems like irritable bowel or celiac disease because they don't absorb the vitamin when it's going through their GI tract are also at risk.
So there's really, I mean, there's all the right reasons to take it and really no downside.
Correct.
So what exactly are the new recommendations?
Well, the new recommendations are that you get about 800 milligrams for someone who's less than 60 years old, about 800 to 1,000 milligrams a day, and then 60 and older should be getting about 1,000 milligrams a day.
And has that changed from
before? It used to be 400 milligrams they thought was sufficient to prevent us from having problems. And really what they were looking at was rickets, which is a very severe form of vitamin D deficiency, which even today in northern climates we will find in infants who particularly have darker skin who aren't getting enough vitamin D.
So how does one know if you're deficient? How do you determine that?
Well, the best way to do it is ask your doctor to get a level because that's really the only way you're going to know.
And that level is through the blood?
You get a blood test. And then once you know what that level is, it can tell you. If you're very deficient, then the doctor may give you extra vitamin D, and it has to be vitamin D3 in the capsule form to get it up there. If you're not so deficient, then maybe just a vitamin that has those new recommended levels of vitamin D would be sufficient for you.
So what is are there numbers associated with these levels now? What's considered appropriate?
Anything below 30 nanograms per milliliter. So 30 to 75 is what you're looking for. Probably closer to 50 is what you want to be optimal.
But the important thing, I think, here is that if people can't just go out or should not just go out and buy, let's say, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, because I know they're selling vitamin D in these very high levels, and just take it all the time without knowing really where they stand.
Yes, you really do, because it's a fat-soluble vitamin, which means it doesn't get flushed out of the body easily. So if you take too much of it, it can accumulate and cause harm. So you want to make sure you're taking an adequate amount to make sure you're protecting yourself from a lot of the diseases we talked about, but not take too much that it's really going to be harmful to you.
So today, as you said, naturally, are there other sources besides the sun that will give us vitamin D? Are there food sources, for example?
There are definitely food sources. Fatty fish are the best source. So salmon, not farm-raised, but wild-caught salmon, sockeye salmon's coming into season. All the salmons are now coming into season, and so salmon is very high. Albacore tuna is very high. Those are probably the best. Sardines, herring, you know, those are the best sources. You can get...
mackerel, which is not that popular.
Right, yeah. So those kinds of fatty fish are really the best sources. Egg yolks are a source. So, if you want to incorporate some eggs in your diet, I know, you know, the balance is here is that we've heard so much about eating low fat, and people, I think, have gone the other way and cut out a lot of the good fats from their diet, so they're not getting it. But those are the best sources. And then fortified dairy products. So dairy is fortified. Most dairy products are fortified with vitamin D.
I've even seen orange juice that says it has calcium and vitamin D added. So to look out for that. So in terms of purchasing those kinds of supplements, since I don't know what the level of regulation is, do you have any specific advice for people? Should they be looking for any particular brand, or should they be looking for any kind of, should they be basically aware of the fact that not all manufacturers are equal?
That's true. I mean, I don't know that I can recommend a particular brand, there are websites that you can go to check. You know, where they actually check the various brands and to see whether or not the amount that they say that they're in the pill is actually there. So you can go on the internet and look that up.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and sharing this very important information, especially here in Syracuse where we don't get much sun. My guest has been Dr. Donna Bakke, Associate Professor and Chair of Public Health and Preventive Medicine at Upstate Medical University. I'm Linda Cohen. We'll be right back after this short break.